Welcome to Life of the Dust Live. Got a crazy show coming up today. Y'all be on the lookout, man. We'll be back right here on Life of the Dust Live. Let's get it.
Dust Body Radio. Life at the Dust. Career. Steady J hold the title, and I bet when the smoke clears, you gon' need you a bottle, cause this vlog is real talk, ain't no American Idol, Jack is the more Taryn Lamona in your divider, and if you don't tune in, you might as well play the lotto, because your chances of winning is like wishing in a bottle, this is Life After Dusk, music wins with hot models, we got em. Life After Dusk, dust, dust, by the radio, to come up is a must, must. People tune in on your radio. You could even visit dustspot.com every Monday and Wednesday. Steady J is on.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Pump day?
Yeah. And welcome to Life of the Dust Live. Get out of your boy, Steady J. And it is, of course, my boy said, it is hump day. Hump day at the dusk. Wednesday's here. And, man, we got a very crazy show coming for y'all today. Though, we always bring you 2-4 hours of all-out wildness. And seriousness depends on what part of the show you come on to, what we're doing for the day or whatever. So today's show is definitely be no different. We got model slash actress Ms. Dara Lagarde, a.k.a. Yellow Vanilla. She's going to be in the building momentarily, and we'll be chopping up with her. She's holding down for South Bend, Indiana. And notice, find out how she's making some moves on that, as well as her upcoming feature in Human Chemists Magazine. Woo-woo. All right, then, on the second hour of the show, we got my girl Tina Reed. Tina Reed Hour, you know how she does it. Every second hour of Life of the Dust Live, she takes over and brings y'all some crazy topics. And sometimes interviews, depending on what the flavor of the day is. Well, today is going to be a very, 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 very controversial topic, and that is, does racism still exist? And as well as a tribute to Nelson Mandela. So we're going to talk about both of those hot topics in the second hour, so be on the lookout for that. Be live and direct, live and direct. Okay, so we'll go ahead and go into my news for today. I'm going to go to the good old clumsycrooks.com, where they specialize in crazy cops and crazy ass criminals, of course, because that's what the crooks go in. All right, so, man, wow. Oh, my God, I don't know where to start. I mean, people just, it's pretty much it's Deep State. And I don't know which one I want to start with. You know what? We're going to go all three stories, but we're going to start with the name of a story, you know, that everybody just would just resonate with. So we're going to go to that one first. First story up on the chopping block is of a suspected Walmart thieves are arrested when they are returned to the store. And what happened is two men were getting started when they walked out on a Bainton Beach Walmart with a shopping cart loaded with stolen electronics on Thursday. Well, the security at that Walmart at 3200 Old Bainton Road told the Bainton Beach Police they watched as Askinville Paulville, who's 21 and this dude's name is License Aeneas. Oh, it might be Lysine, 19, both up on Bainton Beach, walked out with their first batch of stolen goods and stashed the haul in a trunk of a Toyota Camry. Now, what did you idiots do next? And for those of y'all want to know, yes, they are black. Oh, God. right, so I was going on to some more. The two went back inside shortly afterward, this time snatching a 42-inch and a 55-inch TV. The story of some security and police were waiting. According to the story, that security and police were waiting at the exit. And his security said Fanias tried to run, but they caught him outside. And then police searched the trunk of the Camry to find the rest of stolen goods. Police valued the attempted heist at about $1,760. Both men are held in Palm Beach County Jail and face grand theft charges. Fanias faced an additional charge of resisting arrest. Both are being held in lieu of the $3,000 bail. What an idiot. Yeah, I know how this game with these people just don't freaking think. And it's going to come into the play of later on in the show, I said, right through the movie. And what I said in my comment of, oh, God, they're black, you know, because a lot of times people that do this, it makes it so fucking hard for people that's actually trying to do the right thing. And so now people like myself, you know, you're not doing a thing, you go into a store and you get people always watching because you're black. And they say, oh, well, you might steal something. But, you know, it's funny because, you know, like when I was working the mall, it was a whole other thing. I was having the black kids doing stuff to me. I was having European kids from, you know, from other, you know, white Caucasians from other countries, not necessarily Americans, just doing the most stealing stuff. It's still in this being real slick about it and being these are little kids like pulling some crazy, trying to pull some crazy heights. So. Man, we're going to talk about that a little bit. That's slide into the second hour, man. Can't wait to throw that in there. Another one, we on this whole thing about people stealing stuff. Well, check this one out. That's a truck that still has worth $120,000 of chocolate that was stolen in Valencia. Around $120,000 in chocolate is missing in the contents of a semi-truck that Valosa County deputies were said were stolen from a dealing truck center over the weekend. The investigators have been trying to track down the truck, its contents, and a thief with an unusually strong sweet tooth. Wow. Whoo, don't know what to say about that one, man. Oh, yeah, so here's the thing now. We go with China. You know, this is what happened to the 911 operator, the driver. The driver of the stolen truck, which was hauling the 120K worth of Hershey's chocolate, man, some good chocolate, dude, called 911 early Sunday morning to report that the truck was stolen from the J.D. Lewis Truck Center on International Speedway Boulevard near the Dealing Airport, and this is what happened on 911 call. Well, 3 o'clock yesterday, which was Saturday, was the last time I saw the truck. It's hooked to a trailer as well, fully loaded with chocolate. Fully loaded with chocolate, huh? Yeah, someone for sweet tooth. Well, you know, maybe that's what they were going for. Who knows? Hey, going on to some more. I mean, whoever saw the truck had the chance of trying to keep the contents cool or deal with a chocolatey mess. And so deputies said the truck owned by Sun State Carriers in Tavares was a 2012 Freightliner Cascadia with red and orange stripes valued at $90,000. A spokesman for Sun State Carriers said he will not comment on the theft or provide a picture of the truck. The J.D. Lewis Truck Center rents space to truckers for free. It also provides drivers with remote control to open the gate. A sign outside this business indicates surveillance cameras record 24/7, but the Valencia County Sheriff's Office said deputies are not releasing the video at this time as their investigation is still ongoing. So, wow. Tommy, it just gets real. Hey, you guys see, as I always tell you, these criminal stories just get more and more real as you listen to the So, and people do the most. You never know. I'm just really trying to figure out, the guy go to the stealing truck? Is he going to flip the chocolate, try to sell it, make some money on his own? What's he going to do with the truck? I mean, he has a lot that he has to think about here. And if he's trying to just flee for a while, he has to remember that he's not keeping this chocolate cool. So if he is trying to sell it, hell, that's just going to fucking melt. So he might want to think that one through. All right, so now, oh, man. That was pretty much it, man. That one wasn't really enticing to me. We'll say that for another rainy day. All right, so we're going to go ahead and go to a quick song. And we come to this song break. We'll be getting ready to get into the interview with my girl, Dollarman, a.k.a. Yellow Vanilla in the building. So y'all get ready to listen and act the fool with her. And y'all know how to do it, man. I hope people understand that they know that I'm one of the craziest people in the world that come to this show. All right, so we're going to go into a song by, who am I feeling? Is the spirit moving? All right, so we're going to go with a boy, Chujuni Goons, and it's a Star Hating.
I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. Start hating. Start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. Chilling with the Haitian and four Caucasians. No court cases or probation. On vacation and the villa is stationed. Catch me at the races. Bless you with my razors or bless you with my graces. Nah, you didn't sleep twice. Foot on your neck, certain you can't breathe right. You keep on ice grilling me like he don't need life. These guys is old like felines, Levi's. Got a buzz like I just smacked a beehive. Oh, we slide and pump like seaside. T5, holla at me if you need that key lime. Whoa, swag that and swag this. But without no cash, I'm getting swagless. I'm sleeping on plush, you flipping the mattress. I'm pumping on that. You smoking on cat poop. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. Start hating. Start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. Start hating. Start hating. Come through in the hoodie and the Gore-Tex. I'm so elastic through a crack in the vortex. I don't have a house, I have a fortress. When we pick up weight, we gotta use a forklift. We keep the street while your niggas call it corporate. We get the feet while your niggas call it forfeit. We bring the heat, but our wrists stay frosted. DJ says fame is in the building, bitches lost it. I got a monster in my closet, goons in the living room, creatures in the tank, and a kitchen full of criminals, chain full of minerals. Here's the subliminal, a signal, a message, designed to pass below the normal limits of the human mind perception. Please, no questions, since my adolescence, I've been searching for the beat just so I can flow the essence. These is full of hot air like a convection. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. Start hating. Start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. Start hating. Start hating. Goon baby, creme de la creme, run run, tell a friend, DJ come again. Shorty said, damn goon, you no fun. I don't trick on a slump, tell us up. It's goon, yes I stepped in the room. I've been ill since I slept in the room. I'm about to blow up like kaboom. I am the sh, don't assume. I told ya, wash him up like a laundromat. Hit him with the slammy, killing signs like the Zodiac. Little nigga, stop stepping on my coattail. Acting like you mad hard when you so frail. Big paper, sucker, get it wholesale. You soft as hell, like soft as hell. Forever fame, so fly, call us airport. Stay fresh, all white, night Air Force. Being a G ain't easy. Better late than never, like the homie Gleazy. Condo full of chicks, you can call them sleazy. Baby oil down, you can call them greasy. On that loop, but don't call me Weezy. Ha! I'm in the club sweating like a Waka Banshee. I got a chick, she ain't wearing no panties. All I gotta say is that's rubber band me. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating.
I'm just waiting for y'all to start hating. I'll be coming through this like start masturbating. You know, the girl say, ooh, the girl say, ah, Teddy J coming through, make you say, wow. Oh, man, I'm back. Okay, y'all know I was going to do something outlandish. Outlandish, but we're back. And that was Start Hating by my boy June Dooms. And we're back. And so, mind in case you forgot what the day is.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Pump day?
Yeah. All right. Okay, so, a reminder, if you haven't got it already, make sure y'all cop that new issue of Henry Cavill's magazine where you get to see me. Yours truly making a modeling debut in a magazine, period. I have been interviewed for DJing and all that good stuff, but I haven't really, like, done a modeling debut quite yet. So it's the first chance you got a chance to see it, man. You'll get to see me having fun. That's what I like to do, man. Type of stuff I like to do is have fun on my shoots. So you got to check it out. And you got your girl Miss Cammy as the head elfman. And you got your girl Catalina Monet. She is Mrs. Claus, so you got to check us out. We're doing a lot of great things. We're doing a lot of great stories. It's not one of the magazines you get, hey, the people just look good and that's it. You get good interviews. You get good stories. You're not just paying for pictures. You're getting paid for a magazine. So definitely check it out. It's worth the buy. And, of course, you know, be on the lookout for the next issue coming out. Next issue is going to be pretty hot. So I try not to disappoint. It's getting better, the movement. It's getting better and better as we get along. So I'm so blessed. Alrighty. Now, another thing I wanted to mention, too, for those of y'all that didn't notice already, and I think I may have mentioned it on the show last week, but since you forgot, shoot, remind y'all that next week is the last episode of all the shows here on the Dust Cloud Radio Network as far as for the season. I mean, you got to put that out there if I freak y'all out. It's the last episode of the season. So next week will be the last, you know, that today. We'll be taking our, you know, our regular two-week leave that we do. And then we come for that two-week leave. We'll be coming back with another season. Great season. You know how we do seasons. We do a season from the beginning to the freaking year all the way to the freaking end. So y'all got to get that two-week break that drives y'all nuts. But y'all get over it. That two weeks you're going to catch up on shows you haven't listened to yet. And I'm pretty sure, you know, I know a lot of y'all are very loyal supporters, I'm pretty sure that you have missed a couple of the episodes. So make sure you check it out because it is that serious. And you can see, like, go check out. So let's see, you know, all the way from the beginning of Grits and Grammar, because the first, you know, they'll be close to their first season. And, you know, you can see the first shows of when Tira Reid was on first star on the show. And then you also can check out the season of Real Spiel Radio. Check out the first season of them. They used to be The Drip, and then they just emerged into Real Spiel Radio as they came here. And just been a very great family as we have in the show. It's out the whole network. We just get a little bit of everything here. Sometimes we make you laugh. Sometimes make people get hot and bothered. Sometimes we make you feel the type of way inside that really just that serious note on you. So you get everything right here in the same show. Every show you get it, get a different approach on it. You got crazies on all of them. So definitely you got to check it out. All right. So another story I wanted to go into for we are going to do the interview. Is, because I'm going to say that the story, I wasn't going to do the other one for you, so you're not going to get it into another day, but I think this one's hilarious, and wow, TSA, good old TSA, I always got to take charge, In this case, the TSA agents confiscates a sock monkey's toy pistol. Ah, it's getting real. All right, so a rooster Montburn, the cowboy sock monkey, is without his pistol thanks to our diligent TSA agent in St. Louis. Phyllis May of Redmond, Washington says she is appalled and shocked and embarrassed all at the same time about the incident that happened on December 3rd. So, And I told what I always tell you, I always say, when you listen to this show, you listen to me tell you about stuff from Clumsy Cricks, it's not always the criminal that you got to worry about. It's the freaking people on the other side of the spectrum. Well, according to them, they felt the gun just looked a little too real, and they wanted to confiscate it. So, and I'm looking at it. I mean, it is very real. The design of it is very realistic. But dang it, man. I really just feel this person was not, it was no malice or anything at all. But thanks to the freaking idiots that make the airlines unsafe, we got to do all this extra precaution every day. And it just pisses me off. Like, how fucking how selfish could you possibly be that you know every day we got to watch our back and go, oh, well, we can't do this anymore because, oh, some idiot's going to try to come on the plane and do this. It's just ridiculous, and it takes much longer to the airport. They BS on stuff that you know that you're not trying to do nothing wrong. I still remember when I hadn't flown the airplane in no how long when I finally got back to the airplane for a long time. I was seeing all of a sudden they were tripping about, and they're like, well, this is way too much. I'm like, what the hell? They were throwing out half a goddamn shit. I was pissed. So, I don't know what to say, man. Well, I feel it for you, but you know that looked too real, so I feel you, but it is. We got to remember, we're in a world where people want to do dumb things that cost us, so, hey, we can't help it. All right, so we're going to go ahead. I see we got a phone line. Our guest of the day, we got the beautiful, talented Darva Lagarde, a.k.a. Yellow Vanilla. No. Wait a minute. Okay, hold on. It was her impression. Might be having a little bit of technical difficulties. Bear for just a moment to figure out what's going on with her. But, oh, man. And shout out to Jimmy Johns. There we go. All right, let's try this again. We got in the building model/actress Darva Lagarde, a.k.a. Yellow Vanilla. What's up?
What's up? How are you guys doing?
Shoot, I'm doing good. You know, I ate some Jimmy John's. They didn't quite go fast, what they always started to boast about. But, hey, you know, it eventually got to me, so. That's all that matters.
Right.
So, how's your week been? Has it been a crazy week for you, or, you know, has it been pretty chill? What's been going on with you?
It's been pretty chill. I've just been doing a lot of acting, trying to memorize my scripts and all that. And it's been pretty chill so far.
Okay, so for those who don't know, let them know who you are and, you know, what actually led you to get into modeling as well as acting as well.
Well, of course, I'm Dara. You can call me Yellow Vanilla. I've always wanted to model and act all together since I was small, and I finally got the chance to do it when I started at 8 months, started off with modeling. Now I'm getting into acting and doing bigger and better things.
Now with modeling, like, well, what kinds of modeling have you done? But when you first started out, what were you doing? You know, kind of let everybody know about that. And then as far as leading to today, how that's changed?
Well, when I was smaller, you know, I just did fashion, fashion, print, stuff like that. And I was in magazines, ads for Walmart, stuff like that. And also, as I was getting older, you know, I decided to do bigger things and start doing more adult things. So I took my pictures in a different way, and so, but I still do like print work and fashion and stuff like that.
All right, so for because I mean, that's a vague thing. Some people had different definitions. As far as like going to a little more, what you know, when you say you went in a different direction and started doing more adult, so was kind of explain a little more.
You said say that one more time.
As far as, because you were saying, as far as, you know, you started going in more of a different direction, and you started doing more adult stuff, like, kind of let us know a little more about what you mean, as far as all of a sudden the stuff you started doing differently, as far as adult stuff, and, you know, because everybody has a different idea of, what, okay, this is me being more adult or whatever, this, well, explain a little more about what you mean. We use a concept
of it. Okay, yeah. No, I just started doing, like, lingerie and started showing off more of my body because I'm very comfortable with my body. And I do have tattoos, so I like to just kind of show them off once in a while and show that I'm not afraid of my body and what God has made. And so that's what I mean by adult. Just like more of like lingerie and being more nude.
Now with tattoos, as far as the tattoos, has it made it hard for you as far as we're doing all the types of modeling you want to do? I know a lot of times, you know, certain aspects of the industry, they shouldn't, you know, they look down on, oh, God, she has no tattoos. I don't want to work for her, you know. You know, what's been some of the obstacles you had to come through, or were there no obstacles for you at all as far as with having tattoos?
Well, I really didn't have any obstacles with having tattoos. Just because of the way I got my tattoos, you know, I've always wanted to get my back tattooed up, like a big sleeve, like a shirt on my back. But so that's how I started off getting my tattoos. But so you can't really see them all in the front, and it's good to take front pictures. A lot of photographers like front pictures. So when I'm facing front, I have on a bathing suit. You might see my little heart that's on my rib cage, and that's pretty much it, like the only tattoo you see. Whereas if I turn around, you see all the rest of my tattoos, and you're like, okay, well, she has tattoos. So I think I put them in a specific place that actually benefits me, helps me in the long run.
Now, as far as in your opinion, do you feel that it should change, that it should change, it should be more accepted of tattoos? Because it started slowly happening that, you know, everybody is like really starting to take notice. Everybody's starting to say, well, have we been tripping this whole time? Because at the end of the day, some tattoos are really just art. It's just an art. It's just a permanent art form on somebody's body. And you know, as far as your personal view, how do you feel about how the impact of being a tattoo model should be changed and how the industry perceives you?
Well, I think they should look at everyone the same, whether you have tattoos or not. I think with tattoos, it's just, like you said, another form of art, whereas a person with no tattoos doing a nude model shoot or in a bathing suit is the same thing. It's just a form of art. Tattoos just show a different form of art where ink is involved and different types of shapes and colors and stuff like that. So I just think that, sorry, I'm getting a little sick here.
Right,
I just think that I just think that, you know, tattoos are very artful, and I think everyone should be looked at the same no matter what they have. But I do understand if you're looking for something specific, then go for what you're looking for. But I think if somebody has a look, whether they have tattoos or not, I think, you know, pick them.
But especially if it's not all crazy, it's not crazy, too. I think sometimes people get mixed up. Like, it'd be some tattoos, like, it's out there. It's like, whoa, okay. Because, I mean, for me, personally, I mean, this person doesn't have tattoos, or those that don't realize it. I hate tattoos that don't make sense. Like, they don't have, why did you get it? You just get it because it was Tuesday? Like, that kind of stuff. I don't, that annoys me. Like, I like tattoos that, just like any other art form, I like things that have a meaning behind them.
Yeah. No, I do understand that part. Like, sometimes they just do go over.
I've checked at yours, and I've checked at pretty much seen yours, and I haven't seen it, and maybe say, oh, gosh, she's got this tattoo. I don't feel that way when I look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some tattoos, Laura. I was like, what? Does she have a... Okay, never mind. Okay, so as far as the so slide into the acting side. As far as what was your first acting gig you ever started doing, and what kind of led you want to start going a little more into acting? Because I know a lot of models don't they want to go into acting, but they're not quite sure how to get started to get to really do what they want to do. It's still model all at the same time. So basically, like, how did you end up getting started at doing that the same way and still being able to balance acting and modeling at the same time?
Well, I started off by just getting into a lot of things, like little acting gigs here on the side, like maybe for a theater or at this place called HealthWorks that I used to go to. Back where I live, and, you know, I started getting into little things like that and building my resume. And building your resume is a huge thing that's really good, supposed to be good for you. You just build your resume, get into a whole bunch of things, and they'll see that you have a variety of different things that you've done.
Okay, now, as far as like looking for how do you recommend for a model to find those little small things? I know, you know, as far as I'm still learning myself as far as acting side. I'll find the best gigs for people to say, okay, this is the best one to go find that. How's the person looking to get into acting? What places do you recommend to find gigs? And, you know, how do you make sure you find the right gig? I know that sometimes it's not hard to find a gig. It's more so about how do you find the right thing that fits for you?
Well, I'd say, you know, look it up on the computer. There's a lot of stuff that you can find on Google. And if you hear, usually they have it at places around where you live. They'll have little small plays and stuff that you can get into. Or if you like to dance, you can get into little dancing things. But that's how I did it. I looked stuff up on the computer, and it posts a lot of stuff to figure out if it's, like, true or not. Just make sure it's at a place that you've heard of that's actually in your city.
Right, and... You know, I understand that perfectly. We're running foo-foo studio. Yeah, even in somebody's house, as long as they got a track record, then you good. But okay. So, what we're gonna do? I'm gonna go to a quick song. Come back. We're gonna chop up some more. I got some more questions for you. I'm gonna go into a little more some tougher questions about. Modeling and acting, because I'm always being messy like that. And then also, we're going to get into your personal life a little bit, too. So, hope you're ready. I am one of the messiest people in the world. I am not ashamed to say it. All right, so we're going to do, we're going to go into my feeling. We're going to go into my boy, Too Deep. This is, hit me on my Facebook.
You looking for me, son? You just hit me on my Facebook. Don't need no paper bag, loose leaf, three ring, no book. Bitch, I'm going green. Hit me on my Facebook. iPad, Android, iPod, touch me. Blackberry, iPhone. Hit me on my Facebook. No paper bag, loose.
Kind of low-key stalking in a way to keep.
Well, it is www.facebook.com/Dara, which is D-A-R-A, Guard, which is L-E-G-A-R-D.
All right. There you go. Make sure y'all stalk her, Dara McGuard. I know you got the Facebook fan page, too, that you got Yellow Vanilla supporter. Y'all go like it. Like it, and I wish there was a love it button so y'all can love it too. So, no, but for now, you gotta go like it. All right. So, as far as I'm going back into the tougher side of the model and whatnot, as far as all your shoots you've done so far, who would you say was your favorite photographer and why?
I think I'm going to have to give this a shout-out to Antonio Wells. He did a very good job on my photos. I love them.
As far as out of his work versus all the other ones, which we're not saying, let's just put the disclaimer there, we're not saying that everybody else's work wasn't great, but everybody obviously has their favorites. It's not going to be sitting here in front. What made his work stand out the most? Of everybody's?
Just the way he took his pictures. He took his time, made sure they were perfect, made sure the lighting was perfect. He took the time, you know, to edit them, make sure they came out nice and pretty. And just, he helped me out, you know, during the shoot. If something kind of looked kind of weird, he helped me out. An overall good person, a great friend, and a very good photographer.
Now, as far as which shoot was that that he did, I'm trying to see for which one it was.
You said did he do?
Yeah, what shoot was that that he did? Because I see pretty much all your work, so I'm trying to narrow it down.
He did my Spider-Man shoot, and I also had on the cheetah. I don't know if you've seen any of my cheetah pictures.
Yeah, I'm the cheetah one. Yes, it is. Yeah, I like, I'm going to take a roll of you now. I like the lighting he had in there was on point. I mean, the editing down to the wire was, background wasn't distracting. Yeah, everything was on point. I'm going to roll with you on that. Going to have to roll you on that one. Now, as far as your experience you've had in modeling industry, what's been some of the best stuff that's happened to you? And what's been some of the worst things that's happened to you?
Some of the best stuff that happened to me is me finding my comfortability level just to see how far I can go with these pictures. And some of the worst things are, you know, I really don't have any bad things that really happened. I love what I'm doing, and I've been loving it since I was small, so I'm happy with what I'm doing at the moment, so really nothing can go wrong.
Now, you've never had any, like, maybe screw-ups, like accidentally slip or wardrobe malfunction, none of those things happen to you?
Nope. I have gotten scammed twice, though.
Oh, yeah, the big old scammer. You ain't got to give us names, because we call that free promotion here. We don't give out the names. But as far as you got to tell
us, I couldn't give it out.
Oh, no, yeah. Reason why I say I don't give out the names because it's supposed to be to do some foul stuff. But in the day, when I say their name, like people check the stuff with me, and I say their name, all of a sudden it promotes them. So I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. You'll get that free promotion. So
yeah.
As far as, like, without going into complete detail, what was one of the scams, what happened?
Well, it was actually off a modeling website, and they wanted to do a fashion shoot, and what was going to happen was they were going to send me a certain amount of money. I was supposed to take that money, cash it, and save some of it for me and some of it for my wardrobe person and give that money to them. But the first time it happened, I took it to my bank and they found out that the check was fake. So the second time it happened, they just decided to just throw away the check completely and say forget it. Like, they know it's a scam already.
I'm glad you share that because I think it was very, 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 I can't help how much I'm going to stress that, how very important that was to Miles listening to the show and whatnot, because a lot of times, you know, you want to make that money, man. It's like, oh, I want to get this pay opportunity. And sometimes you get the wrong pay opportunity where it ends up costing you money. It ends up costing you money. And nothing happens out of it at all. Not even letting the show for at least some work. Because you didn't get any work out. It would be one thing you got the wardrobe and you got some work out of it at least. But, hell, that is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to all models out there, just be very careful.
Yeah, make sure you get. Yeah, don't take it to your account. You know, make sure this stuff is legit. Make sure this stuff is verified. Make sure. I personally don't like taking money from people I haven't had a conversation with on the phone and just had a deep conversation and reading that this person's real and whatnot. And any point in time, I can just track them down and catch them. All right. So as far as acting, what would you say is your favorite thing you've done so far?
Say that one more time.
As far as acting, what was your favorite gig from acting so far?
Probably when I was a little bit smaller. I want to say around like 13, 14. I did this acting gig at this place called HealthWorks, like I mentioned earlier. And it was actually when I used to take singing lessons and we would sing. It was a musical. We sang and danced and acted all at the same time. And I really do love to sing. So that's what I did when I was smaller. And that was probably my favorite one just because I was small and I was excited about it. And it was my first one actually that I've did since I was that age. And it just excited me altogether.
So do you still sing now? Or are you kind of putting it back better a little bit?
I haven't really taken lessons recently, ever since that age, but I do want to get back into singing. I just want to find modeling and acting first, getting that down pat, because I really wanted to be an actress. The modeling I've been doing since I was about 8 months, the acting a little bit older, but I really want to be an actress, so I'm trying to focus on that, and, you know, the money comes from modeling, which is good because I love that too. So I'm just trying to get a hold of that.
What I like about your work is too, like I've noticed, and that's why I love models of this, that you can't put you in a bubble because you give us everything. You're like, I can't say she's that type of model. Can't say that. It's like you keep us guessing and we can't say that you go off in this part of modeling, hey, she's fashion, high fashion. Oh, no, hey, she's eye candy. Oh, no, she's... I like when a model can just model and not have to put a label on herself for what she does as far as a model. So, yes, that's my... It's a part that I get into a lot. Now, I'm going to ask you a couple personal questions. That's what I do best. Start mess, and then I will be open to phone line because I see I talked to one of the callers. They asked some questions for you and wanted to show you some love, so I'll be going to them in a second. First question is, and what's the most embarrassing, and this is not even to be modeling, this just be period in life. What's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
Probably, let's see.
I see that needs to get you to thinking music. Hold up. Hold up. Wait.
No, I'm trying to think.
It's my favorite thing to do is when people are trying to think of their answer.
Okay, I got it.
Bam, I knew it. Okay, what is the most, again, I will repeat the question. What is the most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you in your lifetime?
Okay, so there was one time really drunk at college, and it was me and two of my friends, and we were all drinking, and one of my friends, we were trying to back-to-back drink, and I ended up not even leaving my room, ended up peeing the bed everywhere. My
Ooh.
Roommate came in and changed my clothes for me. I couldn't even move. I left on my jacket, my shoes, everything. I didn't even make it out the room. That was embarrassing.
Wow. Why is it always drunk? Why is it always just obviously it's a bad recipe? Drinking, college, house, friends. It never goes well. That's why I tell myself I drink, I get tipsy, whatever. But I'll never get that drunk again. Because I had one moment where,
oh
Lord, y'all, I got so drunk. I'm personally not drunk, not taking shots. I like to chase them. I like to take the hit. I'm like, no, it's a shot. I'm taking the shot, not for the chase it. Take the shot, and then I'm sitting there. I'm free. They told me I went to about anywhere from 11 to 15 straight shots. This is what my friends tell me. Because I didn't remember a thing from that night. They had to tell me this stuff. I was running around chasing people like I was a dog, barking at them, like I was going to bite them. And then I just passed out on the couch. The next thing you know, I woke up. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon when I woke up on a school day. Thank God it was classes I didn't have to go to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, man. I know how you feel. First day hand. Drunk, college, friends, shots. It never goes well.
It sure doesn't.
Oh, man. Now, okay, so for all the people that's out there that want to know that, or, you know, this fans are probably out there like, ooh, let me take notes. I'm trying to find out what the case is, you know, as far as your love life. Are you dating? Are you single? Are you mingling? What's the deal?
I'm actually single. I'm actually looking for love right now.
You're first one to the case. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
Well, I am. I'm just looking for someone to love, you know, have fun with. But I'm not like rushing into it. Like I'm not searching on a search, having the easy button. I'm just waiting on the right person to come, and you know, we just have fun together. So no, I'm definitely single.
Yo, yeah, I know I had people just start taking note. It was like, check, check, check. Okay, there you go. I did. You welcome people. I just helped you out. And she just told you, she told you she was looking, too, so she told you. I'm just telling you, I do good at the testing work. All right, I'm going to go to the phone line. I see we got a very special person in the building. What's up, Ms. Morgan? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up?
Morgan.
Hey, the old girl, Team Reefy in the house. Say what?
Say what?
Oh, my gosh. I just want to tell you, Dara and I are best friends.
Yes, we are.
This is my bestie. Oh, my gosh. But anyway, should I ask you a question? Are you ready for this?
Oh, man, I'm liking this. I love when friends start trouble. Go ahead.
All right. Dara, D Baby, Yellow Vanilla. If you could tell your own story with your modeling, what would your pictures look like?
Ooh, that's a great question. Man, I wish I could pay you $1 million. That's $1 million question.
Hey, I'm looking for a job, so you missed it.
I'm going to talk to my people, to have some talk to their people, and their people, and we'll see what we can do.
Oh, okay. All right, back to Dara.
Okay, so let's see. My pictures would be me on a sunny day wearing a winter jacket with no sleeves, but like something with fur.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have on probably a thong and some boot heels? Yeah.
Okay.
Some boot heels.
All right, that's the beginning. We need a middle and an end.
Okay. Middle
I'm
part.
Like this. I got to sit back. Sit back is joy. Good question.
Oh, keep your hands out the pants.
Oh, my hands out my pants. I got to put my hands on the keyboard. So my pants. Hello.
Sorry. All right, middle.
Okay, so, let's see. The middle would be me when it's raining, in a bathing suit, laying at the beach while it's pouring down rain, but the sun is out.
Right.
And finally, the last would be me, probably you in the picture.
Oh, stop it.
And that's probably it. And also, we would be in dresses, like formal dresses. And it would be a laughing picture. Because, you know, we're best friends, and we're always giggling and laughing.
Always telling jokes.
I
just want to say, like, what I really love about Dara is that she has her own vision in her head. Like, whatever she wants to do, she will set forth and go do it. Like, there's nothing that can stop her. It might be wrong. It might be right. You try to stop Dara, Dara Lagarde, Yellow Vanilla, she will stomp you down and go to her destination. And, like, you can see in every one of her pictures, like, that's Dara. That's who she is. Like, no matter what she's wearing, no matter what pose she's doing, it's like, that's Dara. Like, she will take your breath away. And, like I must admit, I am a proud best friend of Dara because No matter what, she stays true to her ground. She stays true to who she is, and she will not change for nobody. Not her mama, not her best friend, nobody. Like, she is herself 100%. And I just gotta show love to my bestie. Like, I am so proud of you. You know.
Thank you, Morgan. I love you, girl.
Aww. Oh, man.
God, you want those chest lines? Okay, I'm good now. Share my chest. I ain't gonna. All right, I'm good now. I ain't supposed to be crying.
Okay?
I'm too gangster for that. I'm too gangster to be crying.
Right. Pull your gangster out.
Pull
your
gangster
okay, out.
Pull it out. Pull it out. I'm too gangster to be crying.
Show it
off.
Right? Reel it back in.
Right.
Put it all together.
Back in me. All right. So, final question I got to throw at you is before we get ready to go to T. Marie Allen, which is the second the second part of the show, which is crazy. She's just as crazy as me, or she might be crazier. I don't know about that one. But, yes, if today was your last day, and you had 24 full hours to do something, and today was your last day, how did you spend those 24 hours? What would you do in those 24 hours?
You want to know the honest truth?
Honest truth. No, not this sugarcoating, Portland surprise stories. I want the honest truth.
I would totally walk around butt naked and anywhere I wanted to.
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. And you
I
know,
would.
Today is hump day. Today is hump day at the desk on the show, so that was a perfect image to put on hump day. Shout out to that.
Hey, hump day.
Hump day. Oh, I can't even say it better.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Hump day?
Hump day.
Hump day. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, I forgot before I give you a link. I'm sorry, guys, I did not get the public service announcement earlier in the show, which is, if you're going to hump somebody, please do it responsibly. Okay, I got that away. I can't yell at me now. So as far as how can everybody, tell everybody your links, how they can follow you, and just keep up with what you have going on.
Thank you.
What's your Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, heck, MySpace? Hey, I can say y'all want something. I still have MySpace, brand new MySpace too, so check the show up. What's all your links that they can follow you at?
Okay, my Twitter is Yella Vanilla, of course, and that is YELLA. My Instagram is I Don't Really Care, and that's spelled IONTREALLYCARE. And, of course, you know my Facebook already. And if you want to follow me on Kick, I do have a Kick. It's D-Sexy. And that's with two X's.
Okay. All right. So, again, I do thank you for coming through. Morgan, I thank you for coming through. Turn up.
Yes, thank you. I love you, Morgan.
I love you too, Dara.
Had me cry, man. I was probably the most. Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, so let's go ahead and go into the second album. And we got my girl T. Marie. What's up, T? What's good?
Oh, what up, what up, what up? Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Turn up Wednesday. Look at me.
I know. You always start trouble.
Today I'm going to be good.
Wednesday is the day you have to mess with me and you have to try to pick on me on Wednesday. So I have to learned I got to keep my guard up on Wednesday when it comes to
that. Don't do me like that. No, not today. Today we're going to, of course, it's still hump day, so you never know when I might slip out. But on my part, I want to pay tribute to Nelson Mandela, and I also want to try to, give people advice on do racism still exist. So I'm going to, keep it positive, but you never know. I might want to talk about some interracial relationship, so who knows with me? You never know.
We were talking about that yesterday in the show, and when I say that was so many different ways, that discussion was so many different ways yesterday. But it was interesting because we didn't, people think they look at it one way and then say, well, I didn't think of it that on that spectrum. So, yeah, we were going in on that yesterday.
Yeah.
Now, as far as what you got, as far as starting off, you know, what you got coming, what you got for Nelson Mandela, what do you want to talk about with him? Because I know you had some
hot stuff. Well, the first thing I just want to do is I have so much with him because I want to talk about the Nelson Mandela tribute. Got a little clip of him, of one of his speeches that I found very interesting. So I kind of want to play that. Then, you know, of course, get the audience, you know, feedback if it's anybody who you know, have some type of feelings towards Nelson Mandela. Well, you know, positive, of course. Then I want to, you know, anybody can call in with that feedback. But I want to start off with his speech and just pretty much go from there. Because did you hear about the president taking pictures during the memorial service?
No, I have not heard it yet. You know, I've been
well, I'm gonna post
I've been
those
somewhat
pictures.
Out of the loop on the on in public space for the past 2 days, so I've been trying to
that's
catch
okay,
up.
That's okay, because I got you, boo. I got you. So
you got me.
That's
you, got me.
Do.
You got me. I feel you. I feel you. I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
So I'm going to be uploading some of those pictures to my Facebook and my Instagram so y'all can kind of see, because there was a lot of hype behind that. I mean, President was acting like a big-ass kid in church, but I love him. That's my president, and bet nobody say nothing bad about him. But he was acting like a big-ass kid at the memorial service. So that's pretty much it. So, I mean, we can pretty much, I mean, if you're ready to get started, we can. If you got something else you want to cover right now, we can do that too.
Shoot, let's get into the speech. I know I wanted to hear the speech. I've been dying to hear it. No pun intended, because part of the name of the speech has something to do with dying. So I definitely want to check it out.
Go ahead. Let's do it. Turn up.
Well, turn up.
Turn up.
Africans want to be paid a living wage. Africans want to perform work which they are capable of doing and not work which the government declares them to be capable of. We want to be allowed to live where we obtain work and not be endorsed out of an area because we were not born there. We want to be allowed and not to be obliged to live in rented houses which we can never call our own. We want to be part of the general population and not confined to living in our ghettos. African men want to have their wives and children to live with them where they work and not to be forced into an unnatural existence in men's hostels. Our women want to be with their men folk and not to be left permanently widowed in the reserve. We want to be allowed out after 11 o'clock at night and not to be confined to our rooms like little children. We want to be allowed to travel in our own country and to seek work where we want to, where do we want to, and not where the Labour Bureau tells us to. We want a just share in the whole of South Africa. We want security and a stake in society. Above all, my Lord, we want equal political rights, because without them, our disabilities will be permanent. I know this sounds revolutionary to the whites in this country, because the majority of voters will be Africans. This makes the white man fear democracy. But this fear cannot be allowed to stand in the way of the only solution which will guarantee racial harmony and freedom for all. It is not true that the enfranchisement of all will result in racial domination. Political division based on caste is entirely artificial. And when it disappears, so will the domination of one color group by another. The ANC has spent half a century fighting against racism. When it triumphs, as it certainly must, it will not change that policy. is that is what the AMC is fighting. Our struggle is a truly national one. It is a struggle of the African people, inspired by our own suffering and our own experience. It is a struggle for the right to live. During my lifetime, I have dedicated my life to this struggle of the African people. I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have cherished the idea of a democratic and free society in which all persons will live together in harmony and with equal opportunities. It is an idea for which I hope to live and to see realized. But my Lord, if it needs be, it is an idea for which I am prepared to die.
All right, welcome back. Welcome, Rose.
Yep, yeah. So basically, that was one of the important speech. I mean, all the speeches Mandela made was pretty much important, but this one stuck with me because, as y'all know, he was wrongly imprisoned for like 29 years. And what kind of stood out to me about him is that once he got out of prison, he went to the people who locked him up. And I'm not trying to make race the issue, but I'm just stating facts. So he went to the white people who wrongfully imprisoned him, and he told them that he forgave him. You know, he forgave them for the things that they done to, for wrongfully accusing him and placing him in prison. So with that, I mean, I just look at Mandela as being an inspiration to all. Of course, we're all fighting for equality, and I mean, that's just like a never-ending thing that we'll, I feel like that we'll always be fighting for. But the speech was made in 1961, so that was a while back. I think a lot of things have changed thanks to Mandela being the president in South Africa. But I just, it just raises a question. I mean, you have Martin Luther King that fought so hard, for blacks to be equal. Then you have Mandela fighting for his country to be equal. And it's just like, my question is, does racism still exist?
Okay, and I'm open on everybody's lines, too, in case you want to share a comment. But I'll rock it back. I'm going to say my phrase. I say a lot about that as far as racism. There's a lot, that still exists. There's a line I say where racism isn't dead. It's on life support. It's not as crazy as it was. As it just, if you're a black person, you had to go to the telephone. You had to go to the back of the bus. All these different things they deal with that was just out of hand. It's not on that level. That's why I say it's not as prevalent, but I say life support because there's always somebody who, instead of just, it's one thing not like a person because it did something wrong, but to like a person because of a stereotype you have about their race or whatnot is another thing that's something else. That's when I say it's on life support because you think about when somebody's on life support at any moment, somebody is trying to breathe life back into something that was almost dead. And that's how I feel about racism a lot. It's like there's so many people, so many different places. Like, I went to, I still never forget, I went to a predominantly black school, but the program I was in was multiracial because you had people from all different types of races there, Asian, white, Mexican, uh-huh. you name it. It was in this, and I remember, you know, you used to, and it was, and I would tell people all the time because it's not just a black and white thing. It's sometimes it's within it's inner racism too that pisses me off. That because yeah. I'm a black person trying to be educated. Oh God, here we go. You know, he's just old proper dude. You know, we gotta say all that. Or because I got a freaking vocabulary at this world, I sound like a walking Webster dictionary. I gotta fault myself for that. Like, that's wrong. That I can't, you know,
no.
use a word that. So you know, it's hilarious, especially when you use a word that's not a hard word. But somebody goes, "Oh, you use that big word." I'm like, "Big how?" It's a simple word, but and this whole thing like with light skin, dark skin, that pisses me the hell off. That every time I see it sends me over a goddamn cliff when I see
yes.
it because
yes.
I remember when they were doing it on Twitter, they first started doing it on Twitter, I was the first person, and because some people were like joining in on it, I was going to Twitter and I told them, take this crap off of the freaking top 10 because it starts the wrong message. It's like, well, I'm light-skinned, so I'm better than you, or I'm dark-skinned, so I'm better than you. It's one thing to say, hey, I'm a light-skinned chick. That's one thing. But it's another thing to be on some different stuff, talking about you're better than somebody because you're light-skinned, or you're better than somebody because you're dark-skinned. And I can't stand it.
Exactly.
I don't care how you look, you're still sexy. It doesn't matter if you're light skin, dark skin.
You got me wishing I would have had that Tupac, the blacker the better, the sweeter the juice.
Right? Thank
just,
God
I
I'm dark skin.
I'm mad, man, because, you know, especially if I use an example. I know Morgan's a dark skin chick, and Darla's a light skin chick. Both of them look bad as hell. Does it matter that one is light skin and the other one's dark skin? No. Doesn't make one of them say, oh, because she's dark skin, she looks better than. No, I don't freaking roll with that crap.
And
then,
don't get me wrong, because my mother is, really, my grandmother is Indian, white, and black. So if you see my mom, you'll swear she's Creole. So, just embrace who you are. I mean, if you're black, be proud to be black. You know, if you're an African-American, be proud to be an African-American. If you're whatever it is, whatever race, just be proud and embrace that. But don't fault the other skin tone or the other color because you might feel like they lack something. I think that's racial. That's just my opinion.
Hey, I got a chat room comment. Someone says, it's not so much racism as it is prejudice. Because racism is a form of acting on prejudice for the sake of elevating another race. Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree with that statement. Like I just feel that it's getting out of hand, and I don't like what. There's one thing when people always do this because sometimes we have a problem with that too. Maybe we have a problem that we got to that every time we see a white person, oh my God, they're going to be racist. Why do we think they're going to be racist? Because some of them, they don't like, you know, I don't like being around white people. Like, that kind of crap. Like, I like being around a lot of people. That's why I used to like this spot, Predatory. You went there, you had all these different races getting crunk, turned up with each other, no problem. And it's how the world looks. Like, start acting like everybody's one race. It's stupid.
One of the things that Mandela, one of his quotes that he said, and it's one that, I mean, I stand firm behind it, so I got it. I'm going to read it because, I mean, if everyone can just take this principle and, it's not referring to a certain skin or anything, it's basically just speaking abroad. if we can take this one little quote and, you know, that just make his, basically making him, which he's already a legacy, but let's make, you know, his death as well as his life kind of mean something. So this is one of the quotes that he said that really kind of inspired me. No one is born hating hating another person because of their skin color or his background or his religion. People must learn to hate, and if they can learn to hate, they can be taught to love. For love comes more naturally to the human heart than its opposite. So I think that it's basically, it goes kind of back to where the way we were programmed, the way we were brought up, because you do have, like me, my son, he knows if he even referred to somebody like this Hispanic chick or whatever, I don't allow him to refer to someone by their race, because to me that's racist. You're referring to them by their race. You can refer to mm-hmm. them by their name, you know, or something. But I don't allow him to refer to people based upon their race, because this is something I'm teaching him. The color of the skin doesn't matter. It's about the person's heart, you know. So it's just, yeah. I think if we try to program the next generation and our peers and everyone to just know, get past the skin tone, you know, let's look at the person's heart. Let's try their spirit and see if it you know, if it fits well with our body before we just say, oh, I don't want to deal with this person because they're black, or I don't want to deal with this person because they're white, or I don't want to deal with this person because they might be African and don't believe in the order, whatever the case may be. You know, we have to look past that and just figure out everyone needs love and everyone should feel love, and no one should have to worry about is someone going to look at me different because I'm a little darker than the average black person. Shoot, me personally, I'm a pretty chocolate. You know, I'm a pretty brown. I embrace that. You know, what? I don't care if I was pitch black like the night. I'll embrace that because, I mean, I'm me, and it's, you know, it's me who makes me me. So,
I'm going to throw it to y'all if y'all want to share it. I'm going to throw it to
Please talk.
I just want to say, like, what you were saying, like, that's something that they teach us at work. It's called person-first language. Like, because I work with people with disabilities. So I can never say, oh, that girl, that's that cerebral palsy girl over there, or that autistic girl over there, or that black chick
exactly.
over there, you know. I have to use their name first. I have to describe them, like that girl that is wearing a red shirt, or the girl
exactly.
over there who has autism, or that girl over there who is Hispanic, or who is black, who is white. You know, it's just something that if I want somebody to describe me, I don't want them to describe me by my color first. Even though I am black, yes, I am dark-skinned, yes, I am chocolate brown, even a little bit darker than that. But I prefer
to
be
chocolate brown.
I just prefer to be described by my personality, like, oh, that loud girl over there, or that girl who's like who's really chill, who's so cool, you know, like just start with that. And like it's like, oh my gosh, like at my job they make lots and lots of black jokes. I'm the only black person that works here at my job currently.
Oh, wow.
And you know, it doesn't really bother me that much because, you know, I've kind of gotten used to it, but I do remind them, like, hey, this is kind of inappropriate, you know.
I remember I was the only black person at my last job for the job I'm at now, and I was like, man, I was the only black person in the district. It was like I can count, and then eventually it was a couple more. But, you know, it was obvious that people were so blown away, like, oh, it's the black guy that works at Build-A-Bear. Like,
mm-hmm.
what? You know, it's crazy. Like, and it's just so weird, and, you know, and especially that moment when people come to you, you know, obviously when people from the outside looking in, they go, oh, man, you know, you're like the only, you say, I would never think of it. You know, especially I've seen people, like I said, people outside and come in and saying, wow, brother working at Build-A-Bear, that's weird. You know, that's just crazy. The moment you hear something like that, you're like, oh, God, I know what's coming
yeah.
next. You know, it's crazy.
You're right. Well, there
and
yeah.
it's like if you're a black, if this stereotype, you're a black guy that works with kids, all of a sudden, oh, he got to be gay or something. You know, it's some stupid mindset that got out there that told people
mm-hmm.
that, only gay black guys can work for kids. Sorry, I'm black. You got half of it. I'm black, but I'm not gay.
And you know what? And I'm not gonna say, but I've like worked with a lot of guys in the past, and I have wondered, you know, basically, like, are you gay for working here? Because I used to work with nothing but females, and then the guys that did come in, you know, they were a little sweet, but you know, I don't discriminate. I actually, I'm all for the gays, the lesbians. I'm all for it. Not saying I'm one, but. It's just on. I'm the last person to judge because I always look at it this way. The first person to judge, that's like go back to the biblical days. You judging somebody, God's right, you know, he's writing your sins down and you know, in the sand. So I'm the last person to judge. So I'm for my gays and for it all. But I did when I was working, you know, in an environment because I was so used to being all female. So when a guy did come in, I'm not going to lie, I was a victim of that. I'll be like, is he gay? But I've grown past that, and I'm able to admit, yeah, that, you know, it was something that I did feel because, I mean, but I don't know, but I can relate to what you're saying because I used to think that, but now I don't. I'm like, everybody out here trying to get it. We're in a recession, shit.
Right. Well, Dara and I are, like, in a special situation because, like, at our school, at our college that we used to go to, it was mostly white, but it was like we were too white for the black kids at our school, and we were too ghetto for the white kids at our school. So,
oh, don't you hate that? Man, I hate that. You can't
damn,
be yes. Can't be me.
Right? It was just like, oh. So we had like our own circle of friends, and you know, we were all different races. We were all different shades or whatever. And then we started calling ourselves Team Reese, and that's how Team Reese was born. Because we had
Reese,
a dark skin.
You like,
because
y'all had the Reese's cup.
Huh?
Yeah, it's like the Reese. I like to do that. I have a habit of doing that. I see two friends with light skin, dark skin, calling Reese's. What's up, Reese's twins? You know, just.
Yeah, and then we have like, but check this out. Then we have like the white chocolate with the peanut butter. Like, no matter what, it always links back to us.
Like chocolate with the peanut butter.
Okay.
Team Reese. I was one of us because you can't wait for Team Reese. I was like, I'm gonna figure out what this is about. I was gonna ask this question that I don't know what's all about now.
Yeah, it's because it's our way of saying we're fitting in no matter what. Like that's how we fit in because we are a Team Reese. We fit in no matter what. No matter what flavor you're looking for.
Now, okay, I'm going to check. We got to see we got nugs. They are calling like crazy. They got some stuff to say.
Look, I'm sitting here trying to post pictures and stuff on my Facebook, y'all. So if I'm being quiet, excuse me. I'm over here uploading pictures of Barack taking pictures all while he at the Nelson Mandela.
I know. I'm about to go be nosy at the same time.
Look,
281. I see we got a call from 281. Who is that? And what's your name? What you got to say?
Hey, what's good with y'all?
What's up? Who's this?
Hey.
Yeah, I was calling on behalf of my future wife.
Oh, Lord, who is this?
Dara.
Trouble.
D-Baby, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was looking for the section model, T. Marie.
This is me, too. This is calling me, too.
Hey,
oh,
Marie,
geez,
how you doing?
Jesus, I thought you was getting that.
I'm good. I think I know his voice, but I can't just be calling people's name out all on air. So who I got on the line?
I just call it. I mean, I call R.I.P., you know, Nelson Mandela. I got to give it up to him. He did a lot, you know, for our people, along with his people, where he at. But I just got to, I'm calling on behalf of T. Marie, you know, saying the sexy model, my future fiance. So you know what this is?
Yes, I know who this is. Is this Agony?
Agony Light, boss status.
Oh, man.
This is me in the flesh.
Oh, boss. Did you hear that?
I'm ready.
Okay, we're talking to a boss. Hello.
Yeah.
Who else we got on the line with Mr. Agony? Who we got? We got two. Oh, I know another model for sure. I think two. Who else we have on the line?
Because we have we got Dara. Oh, we got Dara, aka Yellow Vanilla. We got Morgan. We got Agony.
And we got Steady J, of course, and Steady. So, what you think about racism? Do you think it still exists?
Say it again.
Do you think racism still exists?
Yeah, racism, it still exists, you know. I'm out here in the jungle with it, so, I mean, it's just the way you approach it, you know what I mean? Because sometimes everybody's not racist, so you think it's racist, even though they might have, the flag on, or they might just be a different race. It's just how you approach it, and you just got to be an adult, you know, about everything that you do. So, I mean, you're going to deal with it on a daily basis, but just me being, you know, black man in America, straight out the hood, I just keep, you know, I keep a smile on my face and keep it business and keep it kosher. I don't trip, even though they might think I'm a thug, you know what I mean, at the same time. my conversation be more as a man, you know, so that's just part of life. You're going to deal with it it's going to forever be here. It ain't going nowhere, you know what I mean? It's just, you know, stereotype us for one. So, you know, you just got to approach it, you know, in a better way.
I remember I tell people I was from South Side of Fort Worth. It's like, oh man, you know, I would tell them about their restaurant. Automatically, they would go, "Oh, it's a tough side of town." I mean, really? I mean, there's bad people in that side of town, but not everybody that stay there is bad. You know, I hate that way of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta try to first, just like you said, we gotta first start trying to change the way people think, and we can get people to change the way they think. We can pretty much make the world a better place. So that's it. You want to give any shout outs, Mr. Agony? Any shout outs?
Yeah.
You want people to know how to follow you?
I want to shout out to everybody. We got this movie coming out called Boss Status, you know, starring T. Marie, the model, you know.
Yes.
And, it's an independent film, you know, and I've been working on it for a long time, for a minute. We also got another movie coming back doing that. But I just want to shout out to everybody who's been participating, as far as from the actors, actress, the newcomers, everybody, the staff, you know, what we've been filming at, you know, we've just been doing it straight guerrilla style, just coming to everybody's spot and just taking over. But everybody embraced us, you know what I mean, from all walks of life, you know what I mean? So I just want to salute to everybody who's been a part of this movement. And the movie should be dropping January 1st, so y'all be able to see Miss T. Marie, you know, in that movie called Boss Status. And if you can't, go check it out on YouTube, the trailer, you know.
My question is she acting like a boss in this? Is she a boss in there? You know, she's like 75% boss. Like 50%, 20%, like, I must have a boss this.
Nah, I think she bossing up in there, you know what I'm saying? She got she my crazy girlfriend, and she got a crazy brother, you know what I mean, who came up in the picture.
That's a real life story.
You know,
I forgot all about my little brother. Oh, my God.
Yeah, she got a brother beat up in the movie, you know. Yeah, but it's nice, though. It's turning out good. Yeah.
It's a good movie. Everybody needs to definitely go see it. Agony, I guess he'll send me the link. I'll post it on my social sites. Agony, let them know where to find you so they can look at it and then we can go to
They can find it on YouTube, you know. Or, you know, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and it's Agony Life, AGONYLIFE, one name, one word, on three, you know. Three sites, you know, and then you can go, like I say, type in Agony Life Films with an S on YouTube, and it's two trailers, you know. It got the series, which is my homeboy's girlfriend, Boss Status, then they got the Boss Status motion picture, you know what I mean?
Yep,
you know, it's an independent film, so y'all check it out. Plus, I got a line of different stuff, not to be all on y'all station, just promoting everything I got, from the clothing, you know what I'm saying, from the, you know, everything, clothing, hats, hoodies, shirts, CDs, music, you know, DVDs. I even got my own drink, you know what I'm saying, Slam Soldier purple lean, slab soda, lemonade lean, but it's all
there's
in the penny, you know.
Drink it that make you talk like those are good.
No, you know, it's for kids and adults. It don't slow you down at all, you know what I mean? It don't slow you down at all. It actually speeds you up, you know what I mean?
Okay.
But it's a good beverage, but like I say, you know, I just want to call it. She shouted to my phone, and I'm just showing my support, you know, so I'm going to try my best, and every time I get this link to my text, I'm going to call in, you know, whatever y'all got going on, put in my 2 cents, you know, and do a little promotion and let y'all know I appreciate y'all. I want to shout out to y'all for even doing what y'all are doing, you know what I mean? So that's real.
No problem.
Thank you,
Agnes,
for supporting me. I really appreciate it, Boo, and thank you for calling in, and you know I'll definitely be keeping you updated.
Yeah, do that. I appreciate y'all. Y'all keep doing y'all thing. When I first came in, I was listening to the speech, and then I was able to, like, hear y'all talking, so it let me know it's real. It's my first time calling, but it won't be my last time calling.
It did not
all right.
be.
That's a false.
God bless y'all. Hey, y'all stay independent. Put it down, support the next independent person. And that's how, you know, that's how we keep the movement going. Support the independent.
All right.
All righty. All right, holla
at
y'all.
Well,
good night. Good night.
All right. So let me ask you this, Boo. I know you said that you was the only black female that was working at your job. Is that right?
Yes.
So have you ever, is there like a certain instance you can remember where you experienced racism? We had to wrap up the little racism topic because I got something else to say. Have you ever experienced racism on your job?
Yes, actually. Mainly from not the people I work with, but the people I work for. So because I work with people with disabilities, and some of them are used to seeing who they work with. And I had one participant who pointed out the fact that I was black and everybody else was white, and that's why he really didn't like me as much. And he also pointed out the fact, because I don't eat pork or beef, he associated that with me being Muslim or Arab.
Oh, God.
And I'm neither one of those.
And you know what? I don't eat pork and beef, and I am a Christian, so, I mean,
yeah,
what else?
Same. Am I talking to my friend?
Can everybody want a healthy body? Do we just have to do all blacks have to just consume everything? No, that's another stereotype. We want a healthy body. We want the pretty skin. We want we want that.
Yeah.
I still eat pork and beef, but not like I used to, because when I did that, I was doing a fast. I did a 40-day fast, and all was seafood and poultry. After that, I was just so used to eating. That's all. Like, I love that. Like, all the time, I got to have everything. I go to a restaurant, I get some turkey bacon, get some turkey sauces, all kind of stuff like that. People look at me like, what?
Yeah, it's same. People look at me like, turkey.
I like making my, I make my rotel dip with ground turkey. It tastes better. It's healthier.
Oh, yes.
Man. I'm sorry. That makes me hungry, man. Not fair.
He will not be on the phone talking about Jimmy John's. But before we talk about Jimmy John's, shout out to the person who thought of cranberry Sprite. Because when I tell you I got my cranberry Sprite over here with my New Amsterdam vodka, I mean, hey.
I'm just saying
the cranberry Sprite
go
hard. He got me feeling like I'm sipping on Skittles.
Oh,
I'm just saying. Play the next clip we have about the Houston cops. That way we can, that'll kind of tie into what we're talking about.
That was hotness.
Yes. Oh my God. So that's what we're gonna discuss next.
When I heard this clip, I was like, Lord, take the wheel. I had to talk to the world for a second.
I know, because it just don't make no sense, but, hey, it's life. I guess it's life. It shouldn't be life, but it is.
A young dancer visiting Houston ended up in handcuffs and in CPS custody this weekend. Now her parents are furious and blaming HPD. Rux Russell has a story only on KHOU 11 News.
Landry Thompson loves to dance. And the 13-year-old dance instructor.
Move, hit, boom.
Get a kick out of it, too.
It definitely is life to me, and it definitely is. It means a lot. It means everything to me.
It's why the trio from Oklahoma traveled to Houston in the first place, to spend the weekend dancing and training with some of the industry's best. But that dream of a visit took an ugly turn shortly after leaving the studio Saturday night, when the group, exhausted from their work, stopped off at this gas station.
We're on the GPS, trying to find out where the hotel is. I dozed off. He was still awake, figuring out where we're going to go.
They say before they knew it, the police showed up and surrounded the car.
I was kind of freaked out and surprised by it.
They just pulled us out of the car, put our hands behind our backs like we were criminals. He asked me, oh, who's the girl? She's my student. I said, I have a notarized letter from her parents stating that I have full guardianship over her while we're here.
All three of them say they pleaded with the police who showed up here, repeatedly telling them their story, and that in the end, none of that seemed to matter.
They still put handcuffs on me, and it really scared me, and they just put me in the back of the cop car, and I was terrified.
Landry was taken to Child Protective Services. Her mom says she couldn't believe it when she found out.
I was horrified. She was with the people I wanted her to be with. She was with people who were safe and who I knew would take care of her, yet they had taken her away from those people, and then now she was in the shelter or wherever she was with people I didn't know.
The mom claimed she was told she'd have to fly to Houston to get her daughter out. But 11 hours later, following repeated phone calls to officials, Landry was released back into the custody of her instructors.
I would love an apology. They owe her an apology.
I'm just really upset by it, and it really scared me.
No, well, we can't.
But not enough to stop her from dancing. We've called police, but officials still aren't commenting about what happened. This group of dancers plans to return to Oklahoma Monday afternoon. Reporting downtown, Rux Russell, KHOU 11 News.
All right.
Wow. What that was what this is what happened. It was two black guys. They I guess they're like dance trainers. They had a 13-year-old white female. All of these people come from Oklahoma. They came out to Houston because they were doing some type of dance practice. I guess they were going to meet up with some other Houston people or whatever. Long story short, they basically the two black guys were handcuffed for being with the white female, even though they had legal documentation stating that the woman had every right to be with them. They still handcuffed all three of them and took them into custody, detained them, because some people say, oh, they weren't arrested. Well, they handcuffed them and detained them for 11 hours. Until I don't even know what caused. I guess after they checked out all the paperwork or whatnot, then they finally decided to release them. But my question is, do you think that this situation was racial profiling? That's my whole question.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump out the back. Yes, it was. I'm just so freaking tired of it. Like, because everybody puts this whole thing. I already know what they were thinking. Oh, what's this black guy doing with this young white girl? Oh, is he going to rape her? You know, it's just this whole thing that goes on. And so every time, you know, it's this whole cry just drives me nuts that happens. And even, because you can't be with a woman, you can't be with a white girl who is your age. And some people look at you like, oh, wait a minute. Are you supposed to be with her? Wait a minute now. Are you going to do anything dangerous? No, it's just ridiculous. And in this case, it's a professional manner. And they had the people. They had the freaking notes, but they didn't want to hear that. It goes back to the point where sometimes I understand. You know, always, like, for me, I believe cops are needed, but sometimes always those few cops that fuck it up for everybody.
Exactly.
And
you, to be honest, in my opinion, and I'm just going to be,
I'm not a big cop fan. My mom worked for the Houston Police Department, don't get me wrong, but again, I'm not a big cop fan. So love my mom to death. You know, if something happens to her, I don't know what I'll do. But at the same time, it's like a lot of cops nowadays, they kind of use their badge to their advantage. When I say their advantage, they do stuff that they shouldn't be doing, but they feel like they can get away with it just because they have a badge. Now, would that situation have been any different if it was two white guys with a black girl?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be different. I don't even think it would have been a question of what are y'all doing with the black girl. To be honest, that's just why I feel like racism still exists, because had there been two white guys with a little black girl, this wouldn't even be a topic. This wouldn't even happen because they can care less about their black female. And I'm just keeping it real. If anybody object, I mean, feel free to call in, but I stand firm on this, that if it was two white guys and a black female, a black 13-year-old girl, this situation here wouldn't even happen. I felt like the police officers, actually, once they saw they had an opportunity, they took advantage of that opportunity. I feel like once the guy showed them, okay, I got this paperwork, and then, okay, so what, you want to verify the shit? Verify, but once you call that girl's mom and that girl's mom say, I gave her permission to be with them, then what I was trying my best to find the audio, and I couldn't find the audio, but it was a radio station, 97.9. They had that on there, and they had the call where the woman said that she told the police officers that she gave them permission to be, gave her daughter, you know, gave them permission to have her daughter for the little dance practice or whatever they had going on. The police officer then questioned the parents' parenting, like the parent was wrong for having the girl mixed up with black guys. Like, what the fuck? Where you do that at?
Mm-hmm.
No, see, right here in that part, yeah, that takes another level. That really, because it's like, okay, this is weird. But now it really lets you know that they were really taking it too far. Because even if they have verification, paperwork, you're talking to the parents, and your comment is, it's bad parenting that your child, oh my God, that is so freaking
child is with two black kids. That's the shit. To me, that's what took the cake, because, okay, so what? I get you trying to say, because had it been a little girl that was really an Amber Alert or something like that, yeah, I would really feel bad had they saw the situation and not done anything. But once you verified anything, I don't think those people should have been handcuffed, and I don't think that they should have been taken in to the custody for 11 hours. What can you do for me to give me back those 11 hours I lost? We going to go to court or something, because you don't just waste 11 hours of my time. And to me, time is money. So come for save me.
Right. And I just feel really sorry for the girl. Like, she must have been very distraught, and they just kept going. They called her mother. They showed documentation. But they were so on the fact that he was black, that the two of them were black, than to even pay attention to the child. Like, that could have traumatized her. That right there could have stopped her from dancing. Because if you can't even be equal in dancing and moving your bodies, if you can't even go to a gas station and park and accidentally, like, doze off being accused of being drunk, without accused of raping a 13-year-old, without a police officer calling their mother and calling her, telling her mother that she's an unfit mother, like, if you can't do any of that stuff and it's all because of race, that would tell me I need to quit dancing. I just, this is a world where nobody can be together.
That what was said also, the guy was, that could possibly, the thing, this guy could probably feel like, damn, because if he's doing it, if it's going on in here, out here in Houston, and you know, everybody think when it comes to Houston, New York, and Vegas, and Georgia, you know that those are areas you could just go and be free. When you hit those areas, you think of free. Why the hell somebody, of course, okay, you can think of Oklahoma, Arizona, other places where they might, you know, we might hear about racism still existing, like,
hell,
real
Texas.
Badly.
This is Texas.
But for
hell
you to have
no.
to come to Houston and experience some shit like that, that's messed up. And personally, if it was me, I'll be taking legal actions and trying to figure out, what can you do for me to give me back those 11 hours when I was detained? I had gigs I needed to go to. I had things I needed to do. And you stopped me from doing all of that when I showed you notarized paperwork, letting you know, and you kind of verified it from the horse's damn mouth. So So you shouldn't have been handcuffing me. You shouldn't have been taking me into court. This calls for legal action. That's just my personal opinion. Right. So that was real messed up. And that was really my whole question about behind the racism was that one little call. So it had nothing to do with anything. Of course, Nelson Mandela did speak on it, but this was my main reason. Like, racism is still alive and alive and at five, and some people probably think that, oh, no, it's not. No, it's still going on.
It is.
We just, like, we not experiencing it hands-on, but when I hear stuff like this in the media, I do experience it because I feel what their parents feel, you know, feeling like I'm going out, like, this could have been my child. You know, of course, I'm black, so I probably wouldn't have to worry about it, but if I had a little white girl, I'd be wondering, like, damn, so my child can't go with no, you know, with no black people. Are they going to question, am I a fit mom? You got my child in CPS. And you know, that's every mom's biggest fear, to be have your child in CPS. I know I'm a mom, so I can speak on that. But you got my child in CPS, and I've been fighting so hard all my life to make sure things like this don't happen. Are you serious? No, we got a problem, yeah. But
right.
I just said to say, girl, I ain't never heard T. Marie talk so strong on nothing.
No, it's annoying because it goes back to this as a whole, what we talked about earlier. Like, because it goes back to, again, like me being one of the few black people as somewhere in the very long black guy. I mean, me being a black guy, that was more so of a lower number. Even in the company as a whole, builder, you know, me being black, I was black. And, hey, most of the people that came in the store were white people. But they got along with me just fine because at the end of the day, I was still fun, blah, 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 blah. And no problem with that wasn't, oh, here goes this black guy. Hey, there goes this black guy. No, here. That's the fun guy from Build-A-Bear. It wasn't, hey, that's the black guy. That's the black fun guy from Build-A-Bear. It was, hey, that's the fun guy. And that's what we got to start getting to, man. Like she was saying, like Morgan was saying earlier, we got to get back to the point of realizing what the person, who the person is, and stop identifying them by, hey, there goes that black guy. You know, that, hey, I always play the music or the black guy. You know, it's annoying.
Right. Yeah. One time. My most recent encounter with racism was when I was on a road trip with my cousin, who's a male, and we had gone. I think we were actually in Texas, as a matter of fact. We had gone.
Oh, Lord,
right?
Texas.
Right?
I'm playing.
Right. So yeah, we were in Texas. We had went to a Taco Bell, and when I had walked in. I kind of looked confused because I just needed to use the bathroom, and he wanted something to eat. So I go in or whatever. I'm looking confused, and he's behind me. And my cousin has this thing where I can't use the public bathroom by myself because anything could happen. So I go to the bathroom, and he's standing outside of the bathroom. I come out, and the Taco Bell is clear. And he goes, yeah, everybody just kind of left. And he's like, yeah, people still have food out and everything. They just packed up and went on. I was like, okay, that's how they want to be. Like, that's their own ignorance. He was like, and he was questioning himself. He started feeling very insecure. He was wanting to know what was wrong with him. Anybody like him? Because although I'm from the suburbs and I rep it very proudly, he is from the country. He is a country boy. And so, you know, we grew up on opposite sides of the track. So he was just asking me, like, you know, what do I think of him? And I said, I told him, don't let somebody else's ignorance rule your life. You are a strong, right? You are a strong man. You are very educated. You fight for yourself. You do what you need to do. You focus on what you need, and it's whatever. If people can't see you for who you truly are, then they're just blind. That's their own ignorance. And
that's their loss, actually.
Right.
You can find out so much about a person if you can just get past the skin, get past, oh, they're gay, or whatever the situation is. Just get to know a person for who they really are. aside from what you might believe is right. You might believe white is right. Shit, you know what I mean? But that doesn't necessarily make it right because you believe it. You might believe being straight is right. But just take the time to step away from all of that and just get to know the person and get to know the person's heart. If you can get to know a person's heart, I promise it wouldn't really be that much hate going on because you would really see, like, a lot of people are cute. And, when you know, it goes back to people saying someone might have longer hair than you are, you know, better skin tone than you are, prettier lips, whatever the situation is. And they say, oh, I don't like her because I don't like the way her hair is. You know, it be, and females do that shit too. Oh, I don't like her.
So
you know,
much.
Somebody might got
so
a nice
much.
Ass and the other girl ass not that nice. They might be like, oh, her booty's fake. No, why can't be a black chick that likes to work out, you know? Damn.
Right. Let me tell you the icing of the cake, though. So when we walked out of the Taco Bell, the white person that was eating all the food or whatever, that had all the food out, and they just packed up and left, they were eating in their car. And I said, you know what, that's their business. If they want to eat in the car, that's them.
They're going to have lunches and shit in their car, too, buy some dumb shit.
Mike, you go ahead. Eating outside the Taco Bell in their car.
Well, I know we're getting closer in here in a bit. Last minute, our closing thoughts to everybody as far as racism, man. What do y'all have to say? I'll start to the top. I'm going to go to Dollar first. So, Dara, what is your closing argument on racism?
Well, racism, I just think it's just plain wrong. To me, it's just stupid. Like, we're all moving animals. We all have hands and feet, toes, knuckles, anything you can think of that a human has. We all have the same thing. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. To me, I just think it's just pointless for you to stress yourself over somebody being black or white or a little bit darker
orange,
than you,
yeah.
A little bit lighter.
Pauline, your closing argument?
My closing argument on racism, doesn't matter if you're black, white, purple, red, yellow. It just doesn't matter. I feel like we all know how to love, and that's what we should use towards each other and not hate just based off of the color of your skin or the fact that you don't look like anybody, like everybody else. Like, just love yourself and love others.
All right, T.
Okay, well, pretty much basically everyone should try to find it in their heart to get to know a person past their skin tone. It doesn't matter the skin complexion. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. Just take the time to really get to know a person about it, just to really get to know them. If you find characters in them that you do not like, then you make the determination off of, I don't like this person because they speak negative towards people. I don't like this person because this person isn't, you know, trying to do anything with their life. Make your decisions based off what you know about this person and what you have tried with this person. Don't make your determination, oh, I don't want to talk to you because you're white. I don't want to talk to you because you're black or you're Indian or you're Mexican, whatever the case may be. Take your time to, and teach your children. I think if we can teach, instill in our children that things that when you're speaking to someone, don't worry about their skin tone. Don't worry about any of that. Just take the time to really get to know that person. And we can teach our children to love each other instead of hating one another. Just like Mandela said, then we can really much make the world a better place, and we can really put a stop to racism. When you discriminate against someone because of their race, you don't know what this person has been through. You don't know what drug it is. You don't know anything about this person but because they're black. They don't have to be from Africa. I mean, my parents, my grandparents, like I told you, Indian, white, and black. So, I mean, if you go back to my roots wouldn't go back to Africa. So you can't, you know, don't discriminate against someone based upon their skin tone, take the time to really get to know this person, and then you make your determination off. That's like judging a book by its cover. Let's not do that, everybody. Let's just get wise, and let's just try to make the world a better place. And we're going to start one person at a time. I got me, I'm starting with. I have my little boy. So my household, we're starting one person at a time because I believe we can put an end to racism.
All right, man. Shoot, man. My closing argument, just I summed up in a nutshell that at the end of the day, it starts with you. It starts with you, mm-hmm. man. How you gonna do it? You know, and I feel again, one of the biggest struggles is if black people by themselves can't stop, you know, being prejudiced of each other alone. How can we expect mm-hmm. anybody from the outside to do so? Because that's one problem we got too. We're so bad about, oh, there goes that black guy. Oh, you know, it's a black person mm-hmm. saying that. Crazy. So we got to get out of that. And we got to get to the end of the day. Heck, when the lights go out, everybody's dark. So it doesn't matter. Dark skin, light skin, the darks go out. Lights go out, you're that person you're doing something to deal with. They're all dark skinned at that point in time. That's what really matters. So, yeah, I had to add to this hump day. I had to add the hump day way to it.
I see.
True.
I see.
When the lights go out, everybody's dark skinned.
I see. Heating it up a bit, huh?
And if you're going to hump, make sure you do it.
Yeah, y'all knew I was hiding my pocket. I was like,
All right. Well, let me go so I can get my hump on.
All right, y'all.
Thank you for tuning in. And I also thank you for listening in and chiming in on the topic. But thank y'all for tuning in, and I really thank you guys for actually, you know, talking and staying with me and speaking about the topic. I really do appreciate that, and just hit steady up if y'all want to ever join again.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Appreciate you, ladies. Y'all, we're rolling out. We got to remind you guys, anybody you miss any parts of the show, I know it's a long show. You miss anything, you say, you can go back at blogtalkradio.com/CediJ, CEDDY, letter J. All the shows are listed there. For today's show, all you got to do is look for what it says, Life, Model/Actress, Donald Lagard, a.k.a. Yellow Vanilla. And racism.
Okay.
That's how you find the show. Or iTunes, free on iTunes. All you do is type in Dust Spot Radio Network. Subscribe. It's free. 99. That doesn't cost you anything. So there you go. All right. We rolling out. Remind you of everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it. Remember, well, there's a J. Oh, there's a
T.
Oh, there's a U. There is a way. Y'all tune to the episode of Life at the Dust of Live. Hey, the T. Marie, Alva, we are rolling out, y'all. Peace.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. Let's go. So Morgan can get a hump on. Somebody's going to learn this day.
Turn it up.